It's a Malone Nick Ransom.
I was just going to say, about Tom, I hate that. They should have been, did anybody ever keep them or get a record of them or anything at all?
I would have a couple of them committed to memory at Deacon's Motorbike. Joe Deacon and me were perfect friends, you know.
Right.
And the night that we passed the yards in that motorbike.
Right.
Jordan walked out of motorbikes, and him and me was always coming out of motorbikes.
Mm.
And the night that I passed the yards up along the road on that motorbike, Jordan was the man who was responsible for getting me out on the broad road at all. I was living Jim up to Bridgen, up to where he lived, up at Bridgen, you were
there.
And I was living them up, and I went out as far, when you got as far as the Bone Town Road, I was free to go any further.
Right.
And, went down to Deacon's. I was spent a lot of my time about Deacon's.
Sure.
Deacon was a character. And then I come around anyway that I was on a motorbike and the Jim was going to walk up. Joe says, what are you talking about? He says, go down, he says, and start your motorbike and leave the man up.
Mm.
And Joe forced me on anyway, but we didn't go far up the road to a light and over the side of the road and that way. And I was going to stop. I was in the pilot's seat. She wasn't a great machine now. I was going to stop and, jeez, fuck you, anyway, you're raising me up on the knees. Fuck you, drive on, for fuck's sake, drive on. And at this time, I had slowed in a bit. But just as we're passing them, I gave her a holiday. We left the yards. But that out yard, that's what caught me at the board.
He got his own back.
But we got red that night anyway. And I'm telling you, we're damn near caught. There's two cottages up there, two government cottages that Guffey used to live on.
Up at Forty
Bridge, yeah. They were being built at the time. John Duffy down there in the Mull Bay was building them.
Right.
And they were stealing the timber to the wagons in Bridge. These two guys were on the road up to watch the timber. And I stayed up along with John until it was 3 o'clock in the morning up in John's house.
Right.
And we pushed down back over the road and caught her up with breakings. And we weren't going to left her ready in at all that night. And when I was came to home, Jim, lend me your bike and I'll go home on your bike. And you can pick up that old motorbike in the morning where they won't be about. Ah, he says, get on your motorbike now and go. And them boys in their bed, not go. And no, I'd be feeling. But pal, he says, go down, he says, and we'll get her. Says, I'll lend me your bike. And I went, no, he says, I'll not, he says. But I'll go down the road on the bicycle, make sure they're away. And then I'll come back up and I'll tell you if they're still there. Jim went down the road and my father went. They didn't go very far. They came back and he said to me, they were away. And at this time I had the bike down and an old carabine lamp on her and the gas turned on and I went ready to take the match. And you had to push her to start. And Jim says, they're away. Get on, I said, and clear the fuck. And I got on and Jim gave me a push. And I left to hear the scuffling coming. The bloody yards were still in the jam, and they heard the noise, and they come, and they were reaching for Jim fighting, but he got on the bike and got away. But that was the end of it. The bloody old yard got me with it. It's not easy getting the best of the yards, too.
Well, did the Malay make a recitation on it, did they?
No, but Malloy made a recitation about Deacon's motorbike. Deacon's motorbike was. Malloy made a recitation about anything, you know.
Oh, so?
It was genius.
Yeah, I don't know.
He made the one about the boy being caught with smuggling and no treasures. He heard that often enough.
Oh, that's a good one. Since I heard that one,
Priesthood farmer.
Give us a version of
that, anyway. I am a Priesthood farmer. They come from an issue. My farm that is not very large, but bank books I have none. I toil along from day to day, I do the best I can. I sell my butter and my eggs, like any other man. Derry is my market town. It was there I got my meat, my tea, my sugar, and my bread, my parings, and pig's feet. Some time ago my clothes were worn. I went into Derry town, and I left my measure for a suit. The tailor told Derry. He says, call back in 3 weeks' time and ready it will be. So I toddled off along the road to the state. They say it's free. My wife and I, we talked things over. We talked daily, day by day, about how we get my suit across. No jizzy for to pay. Well, they came round. I went to town. I went to get my clothes. He says, I'll do these customs. I'd do them to their nose. I'd throw these torn old rags away and I'd dress up like a toff. So with my parcel under my arm, to the station I set off. I felt a wee bit guilty as I walked in the Strand, for I thought all hands had looked at me. I was a frightened man. But I picked an empty carriage, for I had to be alone, to smuggle out a suit of clothes, to dear old Anisho. The train steamed out past Pennyburn. I started to undress. The old coat went out the window, likewise my pants and vest. But when I opened up my parcel, to my horror, I did find the tiller had made some mistake. The pants were left behind. Oh, woe was me. Oh, woe was me. The game was all up now. The shivering had come over me, and the sweat ran down my brow. I looked a picture of distress, naked and alone, steaming at 30 miles an hour, the dear old Anisho. The train pulled up at Gallagher Road. A clothesline hung nearby, and a large pair of ladies' knickers there flew high onto the sky. I looked out and pulled them on. They fired me to a tee. I said to myself, a plus four suit, this makes a man of me. The customer man saluted me. He thought I was a swell, but the wife, she damn near murdered me before I got time to tell. Oh, never again. No, never again. Well, I get out and alone to smuggle out a suit of clothes, the dear old Anisho. That's that classic. You used to sing it.
That's right.
The song.
Don't
go on. Dean's motorbike. I make mine up too now. I saw Joe a motorbike one time. And so that one that passed the yards on. She wasn't a great machine, but Joe had had a bike previous to that, and she was very hard to get started in the morning. And there was a character about Burnfoot, spent his life at Burnfoot, it was called Curly Joe. It wasn't just the full selling, but he spent a big part to say about Dickens. He thought he was a full man like about Dickens, yeah. And the one foot boy said that Joe, how big was that heart he had started in the morning, and Joe kept quickly pushing him up and down one foot street. So he was in such a state of exhaustion that his tongue was hanging out and he was panting the same as a dog. With exertion and trying to get the old bike started. And of course, Malloy, I didn't miss him. He put pen to paper and made a poem about Deacon's motorbike. And after proposing to Deacon, the man always liked a bottle of beer. And went into Malloy's pub. All his young days, he got a bottle of beer after he was done walking. And Malloy's, but after this poem was published, he never went back on the road again. he huffed and he went up to MacGyver.
Goes to MacGyver.
He went up to MacGyver.